The book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. I want to talk this morning for just a few minutes about something called 2020 faith. What's great vision? 2020. Great vision, right? How about 2020 faith? What does that mean? What is it we're referring to? Numbers chapter 13. You can keep your hand there and there's a difference, church, between sight and seeing. You know that, right? There's a difference between the two. The scripture talks constantly about he who has an ear, let him hear. He who has eyes to see, let him see. Jesus, in Mark chapter 8, I know I have you in Numbers chapter 13, but in Mark chapter 8, Jesus has had a frustrating encounter with the Pharisees. They were testing him. They wanted a sign. Then he decides to go get in a boat with his disciples, go to the other side, and he begins to warn the disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees. You recall the scripture? And they're sitting there, they forgot to bring bread with them. And Jesus is talking on one level, and they're hearing it on a completely different level, and they're concerned, and they're a bit ashamed, and they're condemned, and looking at each other going, we're in trouble because we forgot to bring the bread. And Jesus finally stops and goes, what are you guys talking about? What are you thinking about? He says, I'm talking about the pride of the Pharisees. But he says this verse, Mark chapter 8, verse 18, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? Lord, pray after me, would you? Lord, give me eyes that see. Ears that hear, and a mind that remembers. Just had to throw that one in there for the aging congregation. Now, traditionally, week three of the 6 weeks of Lent, lots of times in different churches, the theme is on Jesus at the woman and the woman of the well and living water. And actually, it fits into the very theme that I'm going to be talking about this morning, though that won't be my primary text. Jesus spoke to the woman about receiving living water. And she had no idea. She had just come to the community well to get a little drink of natural water. And he says, hey, I've got living waters that never runs dry. If you have eyes to see, if you have ears to hear, it's something different than that which is just on the surface. So as we look in the book of Numbers, Israel had been released from how many years in captivity in Egypt? How many years, remember? 430? Years of captivity in Egypt, and they're making their way to this land called the land of milk and honey. And the land promised to them by God. And their challenge is oftentimes our challenge. Do we have eyes to see what it is He wants to provide? We face life's difficulties and obstacles, and we have difficulties, and do we truly see beyond those to see Jesus on the other side of the difficulties? Come on, anybody in this room got trouble? Right here in River City, right? Trouble happens in life. Difficulties happen in life. We're not going to stick our heads in the sand and say, oh, no, there's never any problem in Jesus. No, the Lord knows we sometimes have difficulties and frustrations and troubles, and they come to all people. The rain falls, the scripture says, remember, on the just and on the unjust. There are difficulties in life. But how do we see beyond them? Do we see beyond them? Do we look further? Do we see deeper into what Jesus is doing and saying to us? We need to take a look. And so what's happening? The context of Numbers chapter 13, Moses is sending spies into the land. They've come to the point where they can now send spies into what's going to become the land of Israel, the land given to them. They've come a long ways, and now he wants them to look over the land, check it out, see if it's good. Will it bear crops? Will it bear herds? And look over the people. Are there cities? Are there enforcements? Are there armies, fortifications? Are there trees? I want you to check the fruit, and I want you to bring back a report. And by the way, this time of year was the time of fruit bearing. Probably we're looking toward around August of the year as we look into this scripture. But come back after taking a look, and let's be aware of what we're dealing with. And I want to just say a couple of points about a principle in the Lord this morning. When God has spoken to your heart An old Bible teacher used to say this. When God, so now I'm getting to the place where I qualify also. An old Bible teacher says, anyway, God is getting to, taking us on, doing something with us, leading us on. But when God has spoken to you, get that word deep in your heart. Get it deep. Hold on to it. Let it go down deep and secure it. Anchor it in your soul. Do you know why? Because there's going to come a test. When the word comes and the Lord gives you direction, He's going to speak to you. I'm going to do this. I will take you here. I'll strengthen you. I'll meet you in this. Hold on to the word of God. Because one of the first things that will sometimes and oftentimes happen is a test to see if you will hold on to the word and hold true to Jesus. It's just the reality of what happens in life. Now, Moses is getting out and getting his spies out to go check out the data. How many in this room feel like you're a common sense kind of person? Common sense person. You know, common sense is good and it's no longer common, right? But common sense is important. And so he's going to go check the data. But do you understand that when God has given you a word, facts inform your faith, but they do not control your faith. Sometimes you take a look at an obstacle and it could be the Lord saying, don't go forward. But many times an obstacle will come and God is saying, will you allow your faith to go into the rear guard or will you press through the obstacle to grow your faith up, make you stronger and ultimately achieve the purpose of God? How many want to ultimately achieve the purpose of God? Sure. And so obstacles sometimes come. So data informs, doesn't control our faith. We don't want to be presumptive, but we want to hear the word of God and follow through. Numbers chapter 13, verses 21 through 24. Not all the verses are up here, but verses 21 through 24. This set of scripture I want you to see right in your own Bible. Numbers 13, 21 through 24. And I'm reading from the New King James Bible. So they went up, and they spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin, as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And then they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai. The descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. How many clusters of grapes?
One
cluster of grapes. Get a load of this. One cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. How big do you think that cluster of grapes was? A big cluster. Look at each other and go, a mighty big cluster. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. Now, the place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. All right. The data. Collecting the data. So basically what happens is these spies move through the land from the south up to the north and then back again. Probably in their time there, they traversed 150 miles north and south. Possibly the country was about 60 miles wide. They're going over the entire countryside. They're looking it over. They're checking it out. Do your search. Do your research. But keep the promise of God in your heart and mind as you do. God has given us this land. Hold on to the word of God. Someone say amen. Amen. Hold on to the word of God. Now, naturally, the area where the grapes came from at this spot in Israel still produces incredible fruit. How many have ever been to Israel? All right, a few of you. If you've ever been to Tel Aviv and seen the vegetable and the fruit stands, it's the most incredible fruit you've ever seen in your lives. The reddest reds, the greenest greens, the yellowest yellows, just absolutely humongous fruits and vegetables in Tel Aviv. The Lord has blessed this land and they know how to work the land and the fruit is just abundant. And so that kind of grape still comes from this land. And when you read about it, you read that the children of Israel were used to the small tiny grapes in Egypt that grow there. These grapes were probably at least the size of a person's thumb. And they were just humongous. And one cluster probably weighed 10 to 12 pounds. Now, I know it sounds like bigger than that, but they also had pomegranates and they had fruits that they were carrying on this pole. And probably the commentaries say it was designed to make it so nobody crushed them and carried them back so people could see what the fruit actually did look like. But it was a 10 to 12 pound cluster of grapes. The land flows with milk and honey. Literally, it's confirmed. What God said to them, what Moses said to these people, the land is confirmed. That which would give them nourishment and sustain their crops and grow as fruitfulness is there. That which would feed us is there. And the milk that would come from our herds, they'll be able to be sustained. They'd never seen fruit like this in their entire life. So there's the data. But what's the challenge? Let's look on. The challenge. Numbers 13, 28 through 29. Numbers 13, 28 through 29. Nevertheless, what's another word for nevertheless?
But.
You got it. Say it out real loud.
But
God's word is true. The land's looking good. Oh, man, lots of fruit. But. Do sheep say but?
No.
Who says but? Goats and people. That's right. But the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. We're talking 20-20 faith. It's not wrong to gather data. It's right to gather data. It's right to have common sense. But then you must continue to hold to the Word of God. What do these words mean here? The people are strong. The Hebrew for the word strong is oz, and it's az, but it's oz. And it means they are strong. They are vehement. They are harsh. They're tough. They're fierce. That's what it means. That's what the people were like. Walked all over that country. Tough. Fierce. Harsh. What are the cities like? The cities are fortified. The King James word is they're walled. And literally it meant they were isolated and they were inaccessible. Scripture says they were very large. The descendants, the cities are fortified and very large, and the descendants are large and they're strong. The very large means literally they are insolent, loud, and proud. Can you say that with me? Insolent, loud, and proud. What's really interesting is you take a look around, and when there's a hardness of heart against sin and people continue to give themselves over, the revelry and turning against God gets louder and prouder and more insolent all the time, doesn't it? Someone say amen or oh no. The devil is very loud and proud, church. The devil is loud and proud. He's insolent. He's impudent. You declare the word of the Lord, and the devil comes along to see if you really believe it. Okay? He does, doesn't he? Remember, what did the devil do with Jesus? Quoted scripture. He just quoted the wrong scripture. And Jesus knew the word of God and quoted the right scripture in the right way. There's two Greek words for the word of God in the New Testament. You remember what they are? One is logos, the written word. The other is the rhema, that spirit-quickened word. It's all the word of God, but there's that quickened word for that situation you're facing right now, right at that time. But when you go through that, hold on to the logos and hold on to the rhema and declare the word of God, because the devil's going to try to take it out of your hand. He's going to try to be insolent, loud, and proud. You might need to fight with spiritual strength in your soul to hold on to the word of God when the winds blow and the difficulties come, because they're going to happen. There'll be a test and a challenge to faith. Listen to what 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says. There is a need to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around and about like a what? A roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Here's it out of the New American Standard. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Is spiritual warfare real or not? There's conflict. There's conflict that happens in our soul. The word devour, do you know what that Greek word means? He's seeking to devour someone. Literally means in the Greek to drink down or to gulp entire. The devil's looking to try to drink you as his breakfast drink. But how many know you don't go down easy? Because you stand strong in Jesus, right? You're not going to be the devil's breakfast drink. So the devil wants to fight, but God. So we look for God's word at the moment, at the time, when the test is on and the difficulty comes. And when you apply the word of God rightly, what happens? James 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Say that with me, please. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, there's a little thing I want you to see here. There's a little conditional in that verse. You see that, don't you? We all like to quote that last part. Yeah. It's easy. We like to quote that last part because there's victory. There's that which is gives us the strength and the victory in the Lord, and it's right to declare, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But what's the first part say, church? If you're not walking right with God, you can yell at the devil all you want all day long, but you're not going to have the authority in his name to be able to send him fleeing. Someone say amen. Amen. You need to be in right relationship with God and rightly clean by the blood of Jesus. Then you've got the authority. The devil comes around to harass you, and you can say, get out in Jesus' name. Are you all awake this morning?
Yes.
We need victory in our walk with the Lord. And so in order to have it, we submit to God, and then we declare his word. James 4, verse 7 out of the message. Watch this. So let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Love that. Come on, say that with me. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. God doesn't promise that everything will just be easy. But challenges to our faith don't mean God has walked away and abandoned us in our faith. It doesn't mean God has changed his purpose. It just means we go through. Remember when the serpent tempted Eve? Remember what he said? Has God really said that? And she didn't hold on to the word of God, did she? Neither did Adam. So they fell. God wants us to trust him, hold on to the word. Negatives can come in the form of data, but we press through in faith in him. Number three, which report do you choose to believe? Someone say, I'm a believer. I choose to believe. Watch out of several versions. Numbers 13, verse 30. You've got it in front of you. Numbers 13, verse 30. I'm going to read it from the King James and several other versions. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Let us go up at once, possess it. We're well able to overcome it. Out of the New King James, Caleb quieted the people before Moses, said, let's go up at once, take possession. We're well able to overcome it. Out of the New Living, Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land. We can certainly conquer it. New American Standard, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. Out of the NIV. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Say that phrase with me. We can certainly do it. Out of the message, Caleb interrupted. What was he interrupting? The crowd's complaint, the negative report. He was interrupting. He calls for silence before Moses and said, let's go up and take the land now. We can do it. Say it with me. We can do it. There it is. There's the statement of faith. In the midst of the conflict, in the midst of the challenge, there's the statement of trust and belief. He interrupts the negative report, stops the devil in his tracks, and says, by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. Amen? So here's several points from this section. We can do this. We can be who God's called us to be. We don't have to be a slave to the devil. The same God who brought us out of Egypt is the same God who's going to take us into the new land. God didn't bring you out of sin to abandon you to walk in the wilderness, but to take you on into his provision, even when it's tough. Can I ask you a question? Has everything in your life been perfectly easy? Turn to each other, smile, and say, my life hasn't been. How about yours? Second point is he says, come on, let's go to work and let's do it now. Let's get it done. Let's not put this off till next Tuesday. Let's not take a memo and meet on this again next month. Let's go ahead and let's get it done now. Number three, Caleb sees beyond the test. I love this. He sees beyond the test. He doesn't just, now listen, please carefully, it's subtle. But he doesn't just see a battle to win. Come on, let's go win this battle. You hear what he says? Let's go possess the land. He's already looking beyond the battle. He already knows the victory is won. Let's go possess the land. Verses 31 through 32 of Numbers chapter 13. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." They gave the children of Israel, say it with me, a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw are men of great stature." Wow. What did they give? A bad report. Number four, Caleb sees God. 10 spies see giants. Say it with me. Caleb sees God. 10 spies sees giants. Problem's real. There are giants in the land. They exist. They pose a problem. There's some overcoming to do. There's some work to do. Jesus didn't say it's just all going to be easy when it comes to the Word of God. He says, study to show yourself approved. Dig it out. It's not just laying on the surface. Understand, study, become familiar with the Scripture. Live in the Scripture. Let the Scripture live in your heart. There's faith to be exercised. What do you do when you exercise? How many remember? Well, in the old days, you work a set of muscles, you work a set of muscles, you work another set of muscles, and then what do? You go back and work them again, and work them again, and you do reps, and you do it over and over and over again, and it's sometimes really boring and really hard, but guess what? The fruit of the continued exercise makes you a stronger person. Someone say, "Oh yeah, now I remember." Great. But faith is to be exercised. See, we're to exercise, the Scripture says, our faith. Philippians 2, verse 12. Work out, see, work out, right? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That Greek there is saying work fully, accomplish it, fashion it, fashion, go for it, it says. Making your faith strong. The 10 spies looked around, saw the same thing that Joshua and Caleb did. Caleb's just doing the talking here. But Joshua and Caleb are the two out of the 12 that are not condemned. And they look at the same thing. But the 10 say, they're stronger. They're bigger, really big. And they're stronger than we are. It means, literally in the Hebrew in that section, it means they're strong, bold, hard. They're violent. But what did they leave out? God. Who did they leave out? God. Who did they believe? Those giving a bad report. And that bad report, the Hebrew word is debah. Can you say it with me? Debah. And it literally means slander. They believe slander. They believe a defaming, evil report, infamy. The issue isn't that the giants don't buy from the big and tall store. They do. Probably they were at least 7 to 9 feet tall. In this same area where they were, they have found from the 12th century as they're dating, 2 7-foot tall sets of frame, bone frames from two ladies. They were tall folk. But they were leaving God out of the equation. But who's being slandered here? Moses? God. Who's slandered when we basically say, "Lord, I don't believe you anymore. I believe my circumstances. I believe the devil." And the giants are big. The land eats up those who live there. That's what they literally are saying. And they rehearsed the fear. Now, let me just tell you a little story. Everybody awake? When I was in fifth grade, summer after fifth grade, I'm this fair-haired, young man. Summer after fifth grade, we moved to Moses Lake. I'm a Western Washington kid. I like the trees. I like the water. So we go to Moses Lake, and it's literally like 1,000 degrees there. It's just hot in Moses Lake. And we live just about a block, two blocks off of the lake. And one day, my three brothers and I, we decided it must have been 90, let me just say it accurately, 900 to 1,000 degrees out. It was hot. And so we decided we'd go mess around in the water. And we found this boat there. Now we took this boat out. I didn't know who the boat belonged to. It didn't matter. We were having a time of our life. And we would get in a boat, jump all around, and sink the boat. And we'd get the boat. We'd struggle it back up. We'd raise it up and get the water out. We'd sink the boat. We were out there for hours. Did I tell you I'm a fair-skinned kind of guy? And it was already 900 to 1,000 degrees. So we're out there for hours. And you know what I've discovered later in life is when you get pink outside, have you ever noticed it's the time to get out of the sun? Because you're going to just nuke hotter and pinker as you come out of the sun. I come in from outdoors and it just glows on me. It just grows. I was bright red outside. Literally, this is going to sound wimpy. I'm just going to tell you the truth because you know I never exaggerate. I sat downstairs in the cool of our basement literally for 3 days in a rocking chair crying. So I'm a little hyper if you ever see me now. We went to Chicago a few years ago. And nowadays, I wear sunblock 2000, removes all the color I have. No, I pasted this sunblock 100 on, and that was when BK was still alive, and Pastor Carl and Pastor Jerry sitting over here, and I'm sitting over here, and I've got this white sunblock and this hat, everything all over me, and it was like 95 in Chicago. It was just why they went to Chicago for the 4th of July. I overhear somebody turns to Carl and Sherry going, "Is something wrong with that guy?" And you know, PK looked up and goes, "I don't quite know how to answer that." Just pasted it all over me. But I learned something. You stay out of the sun because for hours doing that. But I learned it's better to float a boat than to sink a boat. And when your words are slicing and negative and gossip and a bad report. Yep. The bad report destroyed an entire generation of lives in Israel. And it's better to float everybody's boat than to sink it. Because I learned this principle. Sinking boats, you'll get burned. I'd rather choose to be a lifter than a downer in life. But here's what they said. Verse 33, "There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." All bad. The more we give ourselves to that report, the more we focus on the giants that are there, the more we see the giants and the more we see how big they are, the more we see our lack and their strength. And they concluded we're like grasshoppers, literally means like locusts, which is an interesting statement because they're not just tiny. They're saying we can be eaten because the majority of those locusts they had could be eaten. Remember John the Baptist lived on locusts and wild honey. We can be eaten. But listen, church, God didn't call you a grasshopper. God says when you surrender to Him, you're a son and daughter of His. You're a person of faith. You've got life to give away to people that need Him. How many know that land of giants, they needed God really bad. They needed what these people had. And God says, you're a son and daughter in faith, and you can walk with me, and when it's tough and circumstances do get tough, you can overcome, you can make it through. Hold on to the Word of God. The storms come, the testing comes, the trials come, the giants look big. Let's not be stupid. There's plenty of giants in the land, but our God is bigger than all of them. So let's have 2020 faith. Number one, get God's Word. Get it deep in your spirit. Get it deep in your heart and hold on to it. Two, hold on to God's Word and hold on to Him. Number three, expect a challenge. It'll come. Number four, set your heart and set your faith. I'm a son and I'm a daughter of the King. I belong to Him. And I know it's tough right now. I know this time isn't easy, and I don't even get why it's not easy. I don't get what's going on, but I'm just going to hold on to Him. And I'm not going to try to sink anybody else's boat, and certainly not going to try to stand out there and get burned by being a boat sinker. I'm going to float boats as much as I can. Watch your mouth. Watch what comes out of it. And number six, declare His word. Make sure what comes out of your mouth agrees with the Word of God. No matter what your need is this morning, Jesus can meet your need. Jesus said to a woman at the well, I have living water that you don't know anything about, but I can minister to the very depths of you if you will drink this living water. In Mark chapter 8, 24 and 25, Jesus prayed for a blind man. Remember, He prays once and He says, what do you see? And He says, I see men as trees walking. Jesus said, okay, let's go back and pray some more. Because you need to see right. And He prays some more for him. And then the man had sight that was made whole. 2 Kings 6, verse 17. A prophet prays because a servant is terrified. In the natural, the enemies are bearing down on them, and the servant is terrified. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Out of the message, then Elisha prayed, oh God, open his eyes, let him see. The eyes of the young man were open, and he saw a wonder. The whole mountainside full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. What do you see this morning?
Victory.
What do you see? Do you see the giants in your land? The frustrations? Boat sinking? Burned? Or do you see that our God's good? He knows. He sees. And we're going to occupy that land He's told us been given. We're going to be everything He said we can be. I'm going to be a mature son of God, son of daughter of God. I'm going to be a mature person in the Lord. I'm going to give life away because there's multitudes all around me that need Jesus. And I can do it. I don't have to be afraid of a neighbor. I don't have to be afraid of a family member. I don't have to be afraid of somebody that doesn't like me. I can just keep reaching out with the love of Jesus. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when that doctor's report comes and says it's negative, it doesn't steal my faith away. I don't have to yield to the circumstances. I keep going in faith. Sometimes I'm not instantly healed. Sometimes I'm healed in heaven forever someday. But I can trust God. I can keep going. I can believe Him because my eyes are fixed on Him with 20/20 faith. Stand with me, would you please? Musicians, will you come? If you're here this morning and there's some area where the Lord's speaking to your heart, it's more than notes on a page, it's your life that's at stake. There'll be others and a team of people happy to pray for you, see you released back in faith and wholeness and life in the Lord. If you want to take time to come up and pray, we'd be honored to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, we'll be honored to pray with you. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus and you don't know what would happen if you died this afternoon, I urge you, make the simple surrender and commitment of your life to Jesus. He loves you so much. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
He loves you so much and He wants to open our hearts and give us that 20/20 faith in Him. Father, we thank You for this time together this morning. We thank You that You are so good and You know exactly who we are, where we are, and what we're going through. We put our trust in You, Lord Jesus. And right now, we declare by faith that You're going to take us in to the new lands. Each one of us have promises in our lives. We're going to keep walking, keep running, keep rejoicing in you, because you're everything to us, Lord.